Hello and welcome to you, 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, the side of heaven. Yes, and the sun has risen here. You're on the sunny side. My name's Joyce, and I hope you had a very good day so far. Well, hope you're having a good day. And then I'm wishing you a great rest of the day. All right, and radio is here. Radio is here. So what's on the lineup? First, worthy of note, I want to talk about what you think the punishment should be for Ponzi scheme operators. Yeah, those who own it and those who promote it. Apparently, last year, a bill was not only forwarded, but went through all the hurdles in order to get to a point where we are right now. And what's keeping that bill from becoming law is that the president is just about to sign it. If the president signs it, then Ponzi scheme owners could be facing up to 10 years imprisonment. And those who promote it could also face a form of punishment, but certainly not comparable to those who own these schemes. I know a lot of you have unwittingly. I don't think all of you are greedy. I think some people are just greedy. And I think some people have just thought, okay, this is probably a good avenue to make extra money. Just innocent naivety. And you've lost money. I remember the tragedy. I'm sure I didn't hear the story in all of its weight when the MMM thing crashed. I just knew a lot of people spoke of it. I heard quite a number of people speak about it. Some of the people who I heard speak about it were not necessarily themselves directly affected, but it created such a buzz, that particular collapse. Or was it a collapse, or did he run away with people's money? Good. That's to be determined by you, particularly if you lost money. And I've seen videos of people who have either come on social media to cry over the loss of their investment, or those looking for owners of said platforms where they have invested money. I remember watching a 15-minute video of a guy who said he invested $10 million and was on the verge of madness because where he invested his money, the person disappeared. Let me even tell you one that I think is firsthand information. This must have been probably 20-something years ago. I met a young guy. You know how it is where you're writing JAM, SSCE? So I met this young guy, and he was a bright kid, and we became friends. I remember one time he invited me to his home for lunch, and I met his parents, and I met his sisters. And he did look like he was just a bright, innocent kid. Bright, innocent kid. We tried to manage friendship for a bit, and then he left the country. And went, I think it was UK. And the friendship just, fizzled away. It just dissolved. So, of course, the friendship in itself originally wasn't so concrete. Otherwise, it probably wouldn't have become nothing when he left the country. But as soon as he left the country, I have a habit, I must admit. I'm not good at calling people. I'm not good at keeping in touch. So now that I'm older, I even try. So maybe it was my fault. But then again, I can't say. I'm sure he said hello a few times, but yeah, out of sight, out of mind. Okay, and then 2 years ago, at the heart of looking for people who run away with people's money, I saw this guy. And he was in a video talking about, and the name he was using wasn't what I thought I remembered him as. And so for me, once you're out of sight, out of mind, best believe I'm going to forget your name. I don't know how it happens with me, but it does. But I don't think that's the name I knew him with. And worse, I couldn't remember the original name. But I know the face. So I saw this guy making a video appealing to people saying, sorry about what has happened. We are delaying your payments for some reasons, blah, blah. The place is at Lekki. I think his office then, I can't remember the name of the company, but I remember, he says you can come to the office, one thing. Then I went on social media and Googled the company and stories around the company. Apparently, it was the same. It followed the same pattern of they ask you to invest money. Some people get paid and old investors get paid. And even old investors come back and reinvest, and then new investors come. And like that, the thing collapsed. I'm watching this young guy who's my age mate for sure. Or if he's older than me, probably a few months or a year. Trying to navigate his way through what is now trouble he's landed in. And soon after that, I don't know. Well, he's no longer in the news. I remember a few months later, I tried to Google up the company. Nothing, no updates, nothing. I don't know. If I saw him now, it would, I don't know what I would do, but I think I would like to ask, how are you doing? And I'm sure, because under the comments, people were saying, ESCC needs to help us do this thing, help us catch this guy, we're looking for this guy. And I'm like, wow. Well, innocent years come and gone. Okay, so I want to discuss this update from the National Assembly, and I want to get your reaction to it. And if you've lost money, I don't know if there are lessons to be learned, because usually people don't know what's going to work and what's not going to work, and so you just go into it hopeful. Many others are just greedy. They think, well, if I can sow corn, I hope I can reap corn and wheat. You know, sometimes you want corn, wheat, and tomatoes. You want all of it. So they tell you you're going to get 40% return on investment in 1 month, or 30% return on investment. A few people have been able to successfully maintain it, but I don't know how many people. So you have your success stories. Hopefully you get to share them in a moment. Okay, so that's our first hour. And then our second hour, language and interpretations. I want us to talk about this phrase, a bird in hand. So I know you've heard it and you've probably said it, and it's supposed to mean something. Now, when you have a bird in hand, it's pretty much better than those you don't have in hand. Now, there might be some element of truth to that. And depending on where it's applied or how it is applied, one might think, well, that's a sensible logic. Others might say, well, there's not much sensibility to that, given that life in itself is risks. You have to take chances. You have to hope for the best outcome. Or others would say, well, look, I don't think chances are sensible to be taken. However, educated, sometimes you think you might be about those chances. It's safe to just stick with what you know. So in language and interpretations today, we're going to discuss a bird in hand. And then robotics has advanced, and I think you're full aware as to what's happening in the world of robotics. I really hope we have time for that as well. So you know that the scientific world is creating robotic soldiers, robotic dogs, robotic everything. In fact, I hear now that some country in the Middle East has created a robotic presenter, news presenter. It's interesting that some jobs would suffer a kind of upset in the next 5 to 10 years. We're looking 5 to 10 years from now. Quite a handful of jobs will suffer tremendous upset, and I don't know what the world is going to do with the people that they make unemployed, given what they now call the fourth industrial revolution. But that's a case for another time. Today, I just want to share with you what is now the updated version of robotics as far as human communication goes. So you've heard of the AI chat GPT thing, the thing that helps you solve all the mental logic problems of your life, or the logical problems of, we'll talk about that one another day. Today I just want to play you a robot's interaction with human, and I'm not sure if we're going to have time for that conversation, but if we do, I want to get your reaction to how far science has come in its advancement, and whether you think this is excellent or this holds an element of danger for humanity. All right, it's a lineup. We got work to do. Let's talk.
If it's information, then it's notable. Objective.
Subjective.
For time.
With time.
On Wednesdays, we hold it to be worthy of notes.
I agree.
Nigeria Info.
It's worthy of note. Okay, so let's begin with what I think is noteworthy. The National Assembly has passed the Investment and Security Bill, or Securities Bill, which includes provisions for possible jail sentences for those who promote Ponzi schemes in Nigeria. Now, this law, or say the Investment and Security Service Bill 2023, finally scaled through the final hurdle of the National Assembly when the Senate passed it March 29th. Yes. Now, the bill, which is expected to aid the functioning of capital market and facilitate the ongoing economic diversification in the country, has been passed by the House of Representatives in December. It is now awaiting presidential assent to become a law. So now let's interrogate pretty much what this is aimed at. And I think I have a specific focus this afternoon, which, of course, as I mentioned earlier on, the Ponzi scheme. But then this bill is set to help reduce systematic risks, as well as provide for more stringent punishment for operators of Ponzi scheme. Now, Ponzi scheme or pyramid schemes, which have led to the loss of billions of naira on the part of victims and also affected confidence in the confidence in the investment climate in Nigeria. This is something with a ripple effect. Well, the bill passed is set to prohibit Ponzi or pyramid schemes as well as other illegal investment schemes and prescribe a jail term of not less than 10 years for promoters of such schemes. So you remember the MMM1, which I referenced earlier on. Apparently, 3 million Nigerians lost 18 billion naira when that particular MMM1 crashed in 2016. As at 2022, Nigerians have lost over 300 billion in Ponzi schemes in the last 5 years. Okay. Chief Executive Officer of Enterprise Stockbrokers, Mr. Rotimi, said regarding the proposed jail term of not less than 10 years, he's also suggesting that what needs to be added to that, or what needs to be included into that, is the possible asset forfeiture and also a fine of 10 to 20% of the amount collected from victims to deter people from, one, not doing the right thing, two, scamming people. And of course, if you're wondering what not doing the right thing might mean, do you know that some of these schemes are not authorized by the Securities and Exchange Commission? So I think some people take advantage of the desperation within the Nigerian society to exploit Nigerians. Now, if you've lost money, I'm not sure if you've recovered. Many of you might have recovered from it. I hear people invested life savings into these Ponzi schemes, and it sets you back 10 years or maybe even more. I don't know what you would do if you invested all your life savings and you lost it, and now you're left with only one chance to start all over again. So 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Also, another lateral aspect to this is that some people are of the view that those who promote the Ponzi schemes should also be punished. Now, the law is also taking that into consideration. But then how much of a promoter? Well, how guilty is a promoter of a Ponzi scheme? I remember many videos I've seen on social media have used the faces of popular people. Popular, I would mean your music stars, your social media influencers, to promote these Ponzi schemes. And because society has made it no longer your responsibility to think for yourself or research anything by yourself, once you see your favorite superstar, influencer, you're swayed. It's like you let someone else do the thinking for you. And I don't blame you too much.
Maybe I do.
You know, you let them make that decision for you. And once you see, for example, a David O saying, hey, guys, this is my guy and he's doing this and, you know, check him out. If you want to make it in 2023, start praying, start working, work smart. 25% return on investment. Make it quick. Gee. you surrender every form of inquisition and just go with the buzz. All right. I don't mean to make you feel guilty, but yeah. How much punishment do you think is enough and should promoters suffer just because you wouldn't do your own personal homework? Let's talk. Hello, Nigeria Info.
Hello.
Okay, so what you're not going to do is have the volume cranked up while we're talking. So if you would, can you turn up the volume of your radio set?
That's all right. Yeah, Mr. Paul, I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Good to have you here. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah. Okay, because of FM, I have experience in year 2018.
Uh-huh.
You know, a guy came up, was living around that hour, Jagule Ikorodu. You know, so he was out to help people.
The
you
same,
know, yeah. That he was saying to help people, that he have a lot of money. If anybody can invest, you can invest 100,000, give you 200,000, that 2 to 3 days.
Uh-huh.
The guy was busy paying. You know, people were making investments. 50,000, you pay you under 3 days, you pay you 100,000. Mm-hmm. So people were just making investments. Later on, from that Ikorodu aspect of... Now I say you have got an office at Ikejas. You rent an office, furnish your office, people were tipping in, people were making investments, hundreds of thousands, 200 of thousands, that 2 days you pay, better I say want to do the bonanza. That this one now is, people, the investment should be for 200,000 to open.
There was a bonanza?
Yeah.
Oh.
So people start investing 200, 1 million, 300. They start telling story from one story to another that the money that you want to go to Dubai, they did this. People were making money, we were just having hope that it's going to pay. You know, after collecting people's money, and the worst part of it that he went from churches to churches, different churches were making investments.
Really?
You know, hoping that it was real. But after ourselves, the whole thing was story. You know, the guy took off. He took off. Later on.
What do you think about this bill that's now been passed by the National Assembly? That, you know, owners of Ponzi schemes can face up to 10 years imprisonment. Do you think it's fair? Do you think it should be more?
It should be more.
Oh. How much did you lose, by the way?
I myself, I don't lose my own personal money. There's some people that I bring, you know, because once you invest, you have some commission. Some people that I bring around me, almost about a million plus. Not my own personal money, people who invest money.
How much was your commission?
Huh?
How much did you make?
Any investment you make, your own commission will be 10%.
Ah.
Uh-huh. So I was bringing people, you know.
Okay.
Those people I bring, almost about 1 million plus.
Wow, thank
you. That's how the whole money is up.
All right, thank you very much. So now the president is yet to sign this bill. The moment the president signs it, then, you know, Ponzi scheme owners can no longer take a chance at your money. But what do you think about the influencer part? Where, you know, the Ponzi scheme owners pay the influencer, and the influencer just shows up on your timeline saying, "Why you darling? Make money. Make it like magic. Let this fountain flow. 2023. Cash out." And whatever else I say to you that sways you. Well, it's certainly not going to be 10 years for the influencer. But should influencers be punished as well? I don't know whether you think it's something that should be done. Let's hear you. Hello, good afternoon to you. Lost Jamaica back, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon. Hey.
Hello.
Afternoon to you.
Yes, good afternoon.
Afternoon. Turn up the volume of your radio set. You have to do that, please. Remember, don't forget. I have another caller here. Hello. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Okay, I can't hear you, so please make it back. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Hello? All right. Sorry I lost you. Make it back. Nigeria Info. Hello. Good afternoon to you. Can you hear me? Nigeria Info. You're on the Sony side. Hello. Good afternoon to you.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. Thank you very much for calling.
On your skin.
What's your name?
My name is I want to Elon Musk.
Okay, so what do you think about the bill by the National Assembly for 10-year imprisonment? 10 years imprisonment for Ponzi scheme owners and promoters.
Yes.
What do you think?
It's not good. It's very, very bad. Even the funniest part is they will allow some to take the advantage to encourage others to come into it. To come into it. I did two last year.
Last year you did two?
I did two sites like that. In fact, and people that I know that I did it, they collect money, you know, that encouraged me to do it, you know. But when you get your turn, that's when the thing will just crash. Like,
how much did you lose?
Is it that I make?
Did you make money?
When I did my plus and minus, I don't think I make money.
How much did you lose then? How much did you invest? Let's put it that way.
The one I did first, like, it just a little too money, but I even encourage people, even people that I don't have, I have to even use my money. That I mean, when they collect the money, I will now, they'll give me my money back.
How much did you invest?
I think to help her, like, maybe 100K or 150K.
Okay. And you didn't make anything back in return?
I did not make up to that, man.
So what do you think about the bill? What do you think about the bill? 10 years for Ponzi scheme owners.
In fact, it's good.
Do you think influencers should also suffer any form of penalty as well? Do you think they need to jail influencers or make them pay a fine?
Do you blame paying fine?
Why? Why should the influencer pay a fine?
It's to encourage people to do more.
But isn't it your responsibility to do your own research?
It don't allow people to learn their lesson.
Yeah, but don't you think you have a duty to yourself to figure out whether this investment is even worth your money?
It's very, very bad for them to be promoting it.
But you would take no accountability on your part.
Know what?
It's okay. If it was someone else to shoulder the pain for you. Thank you very much. Okay, so the conversation will continue after the break. I'm off on a break. When we come back, a bill is waiting for the president to sign it. Now, we're not sure if the president is going to decide to sign it before he leaves office, or maybe the next administration would sign it. Once it's signed, it becomes law, 10-year imprisonment or 10 years imprisonment for Ponzi scheme operators. And then influencers are also set to... They say that influencers will suffer something as well. When we come back, the conversation continues.
To your number.
We're back. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side, and I should let you in on the fact that it's 58 minutes past 12, so we're 2 minutes shy, 1 p.m. when I get to bring to you the update, and then Vaughn should be in the studio. Vaughn or the other pretty. How tall is Feta? I need to ask her. I'm taller than her. That's glorious. So we're back to this chat. WhatsApp is making me laugh. I'm going to go back to the telephone lines real quick and find out, but then come to WhatsApp. Hello, Nigeria Info.
By the way, nobody's inviting me to come on the inquiry.
Pardon? I didn't get that. Hello? Are you speaking with me, to me, about me?
Hello.
Oh, you're speaking to your wife. Oh.
No, it's not my wife.
No, it's all right. It's fine. Welcome. I wasn't sure.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah. So, I think that 10 years is even not okay for me.
Oh.
It should have been 25 years minimum.
Why?
Yes, minimum. Because, you know, even on Sunday now, I was in pain. Like, it happens to me 2019, Joyce. 2019, is it 2019 or 2020? A church member. This woman is married with about 4 kids, grown-up kids. She came to meet me. She's been posting this thing both on WhatsApp. She sent it. She's been put on WhatsApp. You know, even on our group church, this thing, they want her. Like, on Facebook, she came to meet me. Ah, bro, Emmanuel, why can't you do this thing with me? Mm-hmm. I told her that, I have experience with MMM and other whatever, Ponzi this thing. I told her that I will never do Ponzi again in my life.
Yeah.
Do you know that, okay, she convinced me that this is not Ponzi. It's an investment. And even though you don't want to continue, you know, normally investment, you can withdraw your cash without even the whatever, without even the profit on top. I said, okay, this is a good one. Let me give it a try. Joy, I have about 1.3 million naira in my account. I'm a professional photographer. I want to use that money to buy equipment. So, you know, due to like, this woman has been like, I've known her for more than 6 years.
Hold that thought.
I said, okay, let me just like patronize her.
Wait, hold on a second, because this is getting interesting. If you do me a favor, I'll pray for you. I'm off on a break. Would you call me back?
Okay, I'll wait.
Fantastic.
I'll wait, because to get you is...
It's hard. All right. Lagos, Nigeria, we're off on a break. We'll be right back. The sunny side, the news update is next. We're back. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side, and I have a caller on the line. Welcome to Nigeria Info, if you have just tuned in.
Yeah, hey. Thank you, Jeff.
Great.
So, you know, then all I have is 1.3 million in my account. So I said, okay, let me just, because the lady, I've never patronized her on anything, you know. I'm a kind of person that whenever I'm in the church, I don't even want any recognition in the church, you know. So like to people to, so I said, let me just patronize her for a month. I gave her 985,000 naira to like just make 1 month, then I will take it back. Just that money did not last 2 weeks. There is upgrading. You know, that's where the thing starts.
I don't know. I don't know how it works. So yeah, wait, so you gave her 900. You gave her 980,000.
985,000.
Okay. After 2 weeks, what happens?
You know, there is the system is down. That they are upgrading stuff like that.
Oh.
I thought that this is what starts in other Ponzi scheme, and you say this is not Ponzi. Okay. Is it possible for you to like just take my money out? Uh-huh. I don't even like. I'm not interested anymore. Joyce, you guess what? At the end of the day, my money is gone. Joyce, as I'm talking to you, up to today, this woman did not call me. She left the church because of me. She stopped coming to the church. Like up to today, this woman did not call me and say, "I'm sorry. How did you cope? What happened? Due to that incident, Joyce, I couldn't run my studio again. As I'm talking to you right now, I do freelancer photography, and I equally do an e-hailing. I'm with this e-hailing company doing driving. You know, because of that, like, I lost everything. Like, whenever I remember this, I feel like killing that woman, Joyce.
If your girlfriend had asked you for 900,000 naira, would you have given her?
Believe me or not, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't have given your lover 900,000 naira?
No.
From a 1.3 million, you had 1.5 or 1.3.
No, what would she use it for?
It doesn't matter. Let's just say your girlfriend pretty much just needed money for something important. And it was 900,000, which is certainly more than half of what you have. You don't love her enough to give her 900,000, but you had faith in a church member to give her practically all your savings.
No, Joyce, I want you to understand this. She told me it's an investment, not a Ponzi. I'm not dashing her.
Okay.
So, that's what really, you know, it is well.
Well, I'm glad you haven't killed anybody just yet. So now, do you think that woman in this situation deserves like prison time or a fine?
Honestly speaking, she deserves a life sentence.
No. You're being irrational.
She did not even care to call me to ask me how did I cope? How did I do this? How did I come about? Like, how did I heal?
If you give her life imprisonment, what would you give the people who took your money?
She's the one that invited me, not the people, because like I'm not really like anything Ponzi, I'm of it. I've told her I don't want Ponzi. She says it's investment.
Okay.
Thank you
very much for sharing your story.
Yeah, life imprisonment or 25 years minimum, period.
Okay.
I don't even know why the thing is taking long. Why does the thing even take long for them to bring this this bill?
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate it. Yo, y'all are harsh though. Hello. Make it back. Nigeria Info. I want to quickly go to WhatsApp. Hello, Joyce. Another phone call. Okay, hold on. Let me do this one first. Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes,
there you go. Yes, I can. Good afternoon. Welcome. You tell us your name and where you're calling from. You go ahead.
Yes, Mariette. My name is Kane. I'm calling from Canada. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Kane. Thank you very much. I'm good.
I'm going to be brief. I know the question is about MMA and what the National Assembly is doing.
Yeah.
To me, it just feels like another dog chasing its tail, because we refuse to talk about the main issue. And the main issue is, as of today, Nigeria as a nation has not had an industrial revolution. I'm not talking about trade fair. I'm talking about ideas coming together to talk about how can we create income. You can't blame people trying to create passive income with all the schemes going around. We all know that MMA or whatever the schemes are, is wrong. But Nigerians are hungry. Nigerians are looking for more money to pay fees, to pay whatever school fees. They will indulge in that, no matter the sentences that have been presented, because they look at those in power and how much is being siphoned, how much is being removed every day. And they are no better than the politicians. There's no politician that will tell me that, oh, he's a PhD holder, that is a lot better than myself. No. So Nigerians are hungry. So why not talk about the main issue? The main issue is we need to have an industrial revolution. We need to stop allowing foreign companies. There is no company in Canada or the US that employs employees, and after 1 year, they sack those employees. It's not going to happen. There's no company in Asia. Apple, name all of them. They have their investments in China, and after 1 year, they pull it. That is not sustainable. No country will let you do that. All the money China is borrowing to Nigeria is from PetroChina. PetroChina was the first company to hit $1 trillion. And all that money is being borrowed to other companies in order to collect revenue from them. So our leaders going around passing bogus laws is simply just to make life more difficult for people. Jack Ma, the richest man in China, will be tied him if he decides to invest or take money from Bank of China and dump it in London. That will never happen. But still, today, we allow our businessmen, we allow companies to make money in Nigeria and take that money right away. And yet we complain that CBN does not have the money. So I understand the question at hand and what the lawmakers are trying to do is just right now, it's like a dog chasing a tail.
You can
sign the law, but we will still have a way to go around it because people are hungry. People are trying, come on, salary, 50,000 naira a month, what is that going to do? Your transport fare is more than that a month. Your fare a day going from Lagos to by 12 or whatever, the Uber driver is charging you 4,000 or 5,000, 10,000 naira. And if your salary is 50,000 naira, so what are you going to do for the rest of the 29 days?
If your salary is 200,000, like, how do you even manage life on that?
How do you even manage? So all this that the lawmakers are doing, I don't take it serious because it's just another way of wasting people's time, wasting people's confidence in them. We need to talk about the issue. The issue is we need an industrial revolution in Nigeria.
And if
we don't do that, the next administration that comes in is still going to be the same news of already.
Oh, dear. Tragedy. Thank you very much for your contribution, Kane. I do appreciate it. Thank you. Nigeria Info, you on the sunny side. Welcome. Remember the volume of your radio set. You owe me that much. Hello.
Yeah, hello, Joyce.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling me.
Yeah, you're speaking in Wisdom from Barua.
Welcome, Wisdom.
All right. So speaking about this MMM thing, I feel like that's 10 years of... What's the right word to use? I feel like these people deserve more punishment, you know?
Oh.
And, even the influencers, you know, there are two ways about these things, okay? Some people might argue that the influencers, they're just doing their job. They've paid them, you know, to promote the market and all of that. But at the same time, before the influencer accepts to promote that thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to have an idea, right, of what it's promoting.
How much idea can you have when evil is latent in the conscience of a person? Like, you don't get to see the evil on their face. They don't tell you that they're about to swindle people. They just tell you that these are the benefits of the scheme. And then you want to believe them, because trust is exactly how a world runs. Any society without trust cannot operate.
Yes, but at least people are like, they're still meant to know a little bit about, they need to be a guarantee.
Guarantee? I don't know if you understand, because, yeah, but that's why it's an investment. There are risks involved. Okay, so now, who's going to invest your own money, do you not have any responsibility? Do you not think that there's a responsibility on your part?
Yes, okay. That's why I said earlier that it's like a two-way thing, you know? The people that are investing, they are meant to do their research and know about the company that they are, you know, investing their money into.
Uh-huh.
All right? People, and you said it earlier at the beginning of the show that Nigerians, you know, nowadays we've been shipped to not thinking by ourselves. You know, we let people do the thinking for us, which is something that we definitely need to work on. But the question is, okay, I remember one of my experience, okay? And I think it was in my workplace, you know, a man came in one day. You know, he came in with an Excel sheet, and I was like, oh, I have a document that I want you to help me work on and all of that. And this document, I looked at the document, it was this investing kind of thing now. So it was like, the thing is, these are names of people that are investing in the company. He was now telling me about it. He said, just put so amount of money within so days, you get this back, you get that back, and all of that, and all of that. And he was just talking and talking and talking and talking. And funny enough, I was just like, okay, you know what? I looked at the man. I'm like, he said he's dealing with millions of money and he won't even approach. He's dressing and everything. I'm like, brother, you'll be scammed.
Wait. So what would have been impressive? And how was his dressing? Did he have a Tom Ford on? Did he have Gucci? Impressive?
Just a normal person that put on his T-shirt, put on his cap.
Yeah, but don't you think that that's exactly what a person should look like when they're being conservative?
No. I'll say it's based on, what's the right word to use? My own intuition. I was telling me like, okay, I think this guy is not someone that I can trust.
Because he didn't have Gucci, right?
Because he didn't have Gucci. Yeah. Then immediately he stepped in at first. I was like, what's the right word? Will I say that we did not connect? That kind of thing.
Okay.
I just sort of felt that bad energy. I'm like, no, this is not.
So all right.
That was just for me. But going back to the law, I feel like, just like the last caller said, sometimes, you know, this is our country. They just keep on dragging. Should they? By the end of the day, if you pass this law,
mm-hmm.
The question is, how many of these Ponzi scheme guys would you get hold of, and how many would you punish?
At least the ones you get hold of, you punish them.
How sure are we they are going to punish these people?
Uh-oh.
Because this is Nigeria we're talking about. You know, these are the things that Nigerians are thinking about. How sure are we that they are going to punish these people? You know, because the politicians might be like, okay, just pay a fine and this and this and all of that. How sure are we that they are punishing these people?
Okay, that's another misgiving.
These are the questions that Nigerians, you know, are asking. So that is what it is, Joyce.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
I do appreciate 99.3 Nigeria Info. I have a message here. He says, Joyce, good afternoon to you. For the Ponzi scheme topic, the recent one is this one here. And then he sends me a photograph of a mining company, I believe. As for me, I suggest 25 years jail term with hard labor. I lost 426,000 naira, and it is a loan I took from a loan app. Son of man. You took a loan from a loan app and invested? Does that work? So wait now. So have you paid off the loan? Oh, boy. He says, I'm Godwin from Lagos. That was of it all. They even have EFCC certificate of incorporation and also registered with CAC and APCON certificate. Oh, I think you're also trying to make a case for these people are actually state certified. And even with the certification, you still lost 426,000 naira. And here you suggest 25 years deal term. I understand the pain. Welcome to the show, 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. So the House of Assembly has practically moved the bill so high up, the only person stopping this from becoming a law would be the president and his signature. The moment his signature gets on that paper, it's now law. So do you think that that law is stringent enough, strict enough? Will it deter people? That's when the last caller has a lot of misgivings. He even thinks that it's not even tight enough to stop people, and even worse, would it be implemented? I want to hear what you think about it. I'm sorry you're having to relive a moment in your time where you lost something that must have hurt. Hello, welcome to Nigeria.
Hello.
Yes, I'm with you. Good afternoon. You tell us your name. Go ahead.
I want to remain anonymous.
Okay.
My kids somehow I was.
Sorry, go back. Pardon me. Bring it back. I didn't get that. Your kid what?
My kid is somehow different.
Your case is different.
Yes. I was employed as a converter, as somebody that would bring in people to that area.
Okay. I think your line is also different. Your line isn't clear enough.
Can you hear me now?
I mean, I can hear you, but it keeps cracking.
Okay, okay. I was as employed as somebody that would be bringing people so that I would have my percentage.
Yeah.
So, when my wife overheard me discussing with somebody, she made sure she put my ATM, went to my bank, and withdrew all the money from my account and took to her own, to her own side. And the money also that was in our own joint account, she withdrew every money and put in her own personal account. So the day I came when I wanted to go withdraw money to put into but to invest in my own, I did not see any money. That was what killed the whole business for me. And everybody I called to join, the person would tell me, they would always remind me, Omana. No, it's Omana. That I should remember Omana. Don't call my name and say, don't do this. That was how I was actually discouraged and saved from all this. Then I told my wife then.
Your wife discouraged you.
You want us to remain like this? I told my wife, you want us to remain like this? You want us to remain like this? Remain poor like this? So at the end of the day, I didn't do anything about it again. That was how I withdraw. That was how I was saved from that. And that people, that very group, it became everything dropped off. They disappointed everybody. At that time, it was only the first people that they paid. That was how I was paid. So that's why I say my own was like different.
Oh, so I see. Do you think the 10 years is okay? You think that's enough to deter anyone who might have any wrong intentions towards the public?
Yeah, it's a risk. It's a risk. It's either you gain or you lose.
Exactly. So is 10 years okay, or you think it needs to be more? Do influencers need to be punished?
It should be a life, like life prison.
Why?
That's why.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. Hello, Nigeria Info. You on the Sony side?
Hi, Joyce. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling. You tell us your name. You can go ahead.
This is Emeka from Ikeja, your regular caller.
Thank you very much for calling.
All right, Joyce. There is something that just like the guy from Canada said. We need to go to the fundamental.
Okay.
And you say something. Don't we have our own blame or our own action to take before investing? Joyce, you are being paid 50,000, 30,000 a month. And sometimes you are even married. You know the kind of pressure. You don't have reason again. As in, if somebody tells you, bring 20,000 and collect 1 million in 1 second, your brain is blank that you wish that the so-called destiny helper is here. You are no longer thinking because the poverty before you does not allow you to think. So I quite understand why people fall into these things, these Ponzi things. Which investment does not have risk? Have you asked what are the risks? A person will tell you, no, you will not lose any money. Is there an investment that does not have loss? Anybody telling you that you will not lose money is a liar, or he doesn't know the risk. Two things is available. Either he doesn't know it, or he's lying to you. So when poverty has blinded our mind that we don't think, we now fall victim of these things.
So do you think the National Assembly is really helping the people? Do you think this is the best help that they can give at this point to threaten?
Yes, at least. Let it be a stepping stone. Let it be a start.
Okay.
So if the Ponzi owners goes for 10 years, the promoters should take some. They can go for 5 years. I'm not
talking
the Ponzi owners going for 10 years. The money they collected, would they return it? If I collect $1 billion and you send me to 10 years, if I come out, am I not better? What is the sense of 10 years and I have $1 billion in my account? So the issue is, they must refund all the money they collected, then serve the penalty for doing it in the first place.
That's a detailed one now. You
collect $2 billion that you will never see in your 20, 50 years, and you collect it and go to a jail of 10 years. You come out and you start preparing us on the street. Is the person okay? So you must return every penny you.
You are even saying that the bill needs to be reviewed, and to the bill should be included
the level of things on ground. Now people will take that gamble, collect $2 billion, $10 billion, go to jail 10 years, and come out. So the question is: Are you returning all the things you took from people? Then serve the penalty of doing it in the first place.
So the bill is not stringent enough. You don't think it's solid enough?
It's not now.
Right.
People will take gamble of yes. Now people will still take chances with it.
I mean, if you arrest someone at 25 and you put them in prison and they come out 35, and have a head start of, say, 500 million naira. Because I'm saying worst case scenario, it's not 2 billion, so it's 500 million. That's like 10 head starts. That's a good start. If he doesn't rob you again, that is. Okay, so this conversation is going exactly where I thought it would. The sunny side. Welcome to the show. Make it back. Hello, my name's Joyce. What's your name?
Joyce?
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, thank you for calling.
This is Adeshewa.
Thank you.
I think I love what that last caller said. In fact, he took those words from me.
Oh.
See, those Ponzi, they play mind games. They mess with your brain straight. But one significant thing about me is this. If you Joyce now, you say, okay, I want to send you 10,000 naira. And you were debited twice. That means I'm seeing 20,000 naira. I will call you. I'll tell you, Joyce, check your account. Are you sure it's 10,000 naira you sent to me? I will make sure I return that money. So those things attract me. Maybe that's why I'm not very rich.
Hold on a second, please. I want to be off on a break. Would you wait for me or call back?
I'll wait.
All right, he's waiting. Lagos, and you too, better wait. We'll be right back. Nigeria Info, exactly. Welcome, and my caller is here. Hello.
I'm still here.
Thank you very much for being there. Okay.
So I said this thing messes with the brain.
Okay.
So it's just as if somebody is hungry for 250 naira bread, and you see somebody that can give that person 100 naira bread, you want to go for it. You want to go for it. See, during the NNN, Joyce, we're catching fights inside my school. In fact, some men beat their wife right into our school compound because the woman has used the school fee of the children to go and do MMM. There was one last year, all my colleagues, they were like, Ms. Ogunike, try and do it now. It is energy, it has to do with solar. It has to do with this. They were like, daily payment. And that time I was in need of money, serious one. But my mind was just like, there's no way somebody will give you money. And this thing is called a profit-oriented this thing. Are they charity organization? They are not. They are also profit-oriented company. And that thing just crashed. And just like what the last caller said, they will start with upgrading. it is your baby, you won't be able to enter again. It will just be going. Even the person that is talking to you before, you won't hear from that person again. The group they open, you just see that they are removing one by one, as in they are just going off the line.
So, so it's 10 years, think, okay. Yeah.
No, that 10 years is not okay to me.
Uh-uh.
Like what that last caller said, they're supposed to return all the money they've taken. They're supposed to return all the money they've taken. Then they will not do their jail time.
Okay.
That's me.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. I have a message here. He says, good afternoon, Joyce. This is Charles from Lekki. For me, they should make the bill more stringent to discourage people of evil intention. I'm a victim of a pyramid scheme. The name is MBA Trading and Capital Investment. Their office then was at Ikeja, towing roundabout. They promised to pay 15% ROI of the money invested. I invested 4 million naira. They paid 600,000 ROI for 3 months before they crashed in December 2020. Was a terrible experience. So you also think that the 10-year period or 10-year jail time is not enough and would not deter those who might still have intentions of coming to prey on Nigerians. Okay, this is a mining company advert played on your station. These people are scammers. They just scammed thousands of Nigerians. Our government is not helping. These people are usually certified by government agencies like the CBN or EFCC. This particular company, it was one of the popular comedy skit makers, Sabinus, that promoted them. So what's Sabinus's business, for example, in all of this? I mean, he was just paid to make a promotion. Do you think he deserves jail time or penalty? Say maybe like a fine for promoting them. If you say yes to that, I would also like to extend the question even further and say, isn't there supposed to be any responsibility on your part? Do you think that the bill by the National Assembly properly captures what the plight of the Nigerian is, but even more importantly, properly carries weight to deter? And sometimes it might not even properly punish them, but it should be. Do you think it's enough punishment to say, well, if you have lost money and you can't get your money back, here is justice. You know, here is justice for your pain or for your loss. So let's talk about that. Quite a number of moving parts in this particular conversation where influencers somehow might have to blame themselves if they just keep doing influencing work. Who knew that there was risk to influencing work? The Sony side. Hello, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the show. The volume. Okay, that's not going to work. Make it back. Hello, Nigeria Info. The volume. I know you know.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for calling. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, this is Joseph.
Thank you.
Joyce, firstly, I think 10 years is not enough.
10 is not enough?
Yes, I would take the risk myself.
You would take the risk yourself?
Yes. If it's for 10 years, I would take the risk.
Oh, when you say take the risk, what do you mean?
What I mean is that I will do the Ponzi and then go for 10 years.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Just I was a victim last year. I lost 6.5 million naira.
Dude.
Introduced by my junior brother. He's in Lagos now. You could be hearing me.
Oh.
We invested in a partnership that promised 30%. I made the first 6 months. After 6 months, I renewed. The same person that introduced me pulled out his money. He said he invested 500,000, pulled the money out, never told me, pulled his money out. Mine got stuck. The company crashed 2020. Chimac Group, I have to mention it. It's full day. Addison got an issue. Was his major influencer. Sabinus was.
Uh-oh.
That was last year. I lost all that money. Came back. And there was something he said. He said, if it had pushed you years back, it did push me years back. I wasn't in Nigeria then, so when I got back, I came back in June 29th last year. I had a house rent to pay by December. there was no money left. And children that should resume school, no money to even pay their school fees. Things became
hard
really more than 10 years back. For me, I think that the influencers, most of them know what they are doing. They just come out to, when it has passed, they'll come out to say, I lost money. No, they should pay for it.
No, hold on a second. Let's reevaluate your import here. You assume that the influencers know what they are doing. Do you not think you owe it to yourself a duty to know what you're doing? Son, you lost 6.5 million naira. First of all, you're even also expecting a 30% return on investment. Between you and your God, do you think that there is a strain of greed in all of that?
A strain of greed? Let me answer this question this way. Firstly, this guy, if you know, you should know, because it was all over the news. It's not something you hide. Himself has come out, go to his Instagram handle. He's come out to clarify the issue. He had more than 4,900 and something partners. Now, this guy was into, he had properties. He was into housing. He was into a restaurant. He was into, so he promised to invest this money into these businesses, into those businesses. And then, but his argument is that the Securities and Exchange Commission froze their account.
Okay.
And for me, honestly, I also must say here that I never saw it as a Ponzi. Even now, I'm saying it, and I maintain my stand. It didn't appear to me, even now, as a Ponzi.
Yeah, but you said that there was some renewal that needed to happen. What do you mean? Did they ask for more money, or you needed to go up the income chain?
Yes, what they do, the terms of the business of the contract was, you can invest for 6 months or 1 year, maximum of money, 1 year.
Uh-huh.
Then after 6 months, then if you want to renew, you would renew. After 6 months, they paid me my interest.
Have I lost you?
Paid my interest and then the capital. And then if you want to continue, you can add extra money by yourself. Nobody is asking you.
Oh, good. So your first investment was how much?
My first investment was 1 million naira.
Okay. Then they paid you interest after 6 months and paid you capital.
Yes, they returned it. They returned it. That, on that very date, they returned it.
Good. So that kind of bought your confidence in them.
Yes. And another thing that really bought my confidence wasn't that, my dear. What really got my confidence was that they have been in service over 10 years.
Okay.
He has been in service for over 10 years, not just 1 year.
Yeah.
So, but the only thing is that there was a heavy surge as at 2020, 2021. The surge was heavy. You understand? Like,
I'm following you. Oh, so I lost you. So here, and I think I understand what you mean, except you can make the loss someone else's fault. I mean, you benefited. Let's even talk about the fact that you benefited. And so if it continued, you wouldn't have any qualms with it. But here now you're saying you lost 6.5 million and it's someone else's responsibility to bear, but you benefited from it. It worked for you. They bought your trust for something, for a price. And you gave into that. And I'm really sorry about your loss. Then it's not necessarily, I'm not pointing at that. I'm just saying, well, if you benefited and it didn't work out, I think though that would naturally be said to be the characteristics or say what happens in business. These would be things you would normally find when you venture into business. And usually the business world can have the element of the unknown, and you would have market predictors, and sometimes the market don't go as you initially thought. There are no certainties in this game, and if you know that much, you can't make that someone else's. You can't make that someone's responsibility to bear. But I lost you. Thank you very much for calling me to share your story. Hello. Welcome. You're Nigerian. Afternoon to you. You lost money, you lost your voice. Which one is it? Because you don't sound like you're up on it. I can't hear you. Hold on. I'm sorry. You're not clear. You're not audible, actually. So I'm not sure what it is. You sound muffled.
Okay, hold on. Can you hear me now?
It's not, well, speak better. Is it your phone?
Okay. I almost went out with you, but I didn't do it because I didn't have money.
Oh, good for you.
Okay. So the thing that is wrong with us is that we are green. I think green has taken us deeply. But even more than that, the problem is our economy, the system, the government itself.
Okay.
We don't need it anymore. We don't have a system where you can go to the bank and get credit for a reasonable interest and put in money. Or we don't have a system of open. There's no even job security. You understand? So when you get a job, you cannot even say, okay, I'm going to the car dealer. I think I'm going to.
I'm sorry. Look, pardon me. I'm sorry. I'm really trying to manage the conversation with you, but it's not clear enough and it can be better. I'm going to ask that you please call back, okay? It's not good at all.
Okay.
Yeah, please. Thank you. I have a message here. She says, I was a victim of two of them between 2020 and 2021. One is this Barra, the other MBA, registered under the corporate affairs. I invested both my severance allowance and pension in those two. Until today, my money is gone, and not only me, but thousands of others. We organized ourselves to take them both to the EFCC. Oh, you mean you and those who lost their money? Okay, organize yourselves to take them both to the EFCC, ICPC, all to no avail. These people have a backing. My name is Nenna. All right. So, Nenna, if you've heard anything that I said, the National Assembly passed a bill, and right now that bill is just waiting for the president to sign, and then it becomes law. And I think I understand what it means for you to lose money and not get it back. Now, second to the last caller is saying, if this is all the bill is... Oh, by the way, did you miss the point where I did say that the recommendations include jail term of not less than 10 years, and then possible asset forfeiture, and also a fine of up to 10 to 20% of the amount collected from victims. So it's not just like, it's not just 10 years imprisonment that's said to be the actual punishment. There's also the possibility of asset forfeiture and a fine of 10 to 20 years. Pardon me, a fine of 10 to 20% of the amount of money collected. But you see, one of the callers raised a very vital argument. He's like, what about returning the money to those who've lost it? At least they should be able to get something if they don't get everything. And I didn't quite have that. And, But then the bill is pretty much what it is at this point. Do you think it's solid enough to help Nigerians not lose money, but even worse, serve as a form of justice for those who would have lost money? 10 years imprisonment. One of my callers said that if this is all that there is to it, he would go scam people and go do 10 years in prison. Doesn't sound like too much of a price to pay for what he thinks the consequence of... for what he thinks to be the benefit, in his view, of scamming people. He thinks, well, if I can scam people a billion naira and I have to just go do 10 years in prison, is there any reason I shouldn't do 10 years in prison and come out, have a head start of, say, half a million? Even if it's like 300 million, because maybe money goes where it goes. You know how that food chain works. If money goes where it goes and then you have a head start of 300 million... That's like three. That's a number of heads for a start. Hey, welcome. I lost you. Make it back. Nigeria Info. Hello. Good afternoon to you.
Hello. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Yes.
Thank you.
What's your name?
I want a student. Tell my student.
What's your name?
I'm Prosper. I'm a Sapa.
Okay. Speak up for me and speak quickly. Okay.
All right. There's a time around black.
Lost you. Hello. Welcome to the show. I have another caller here. Let's see. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning, Joyce.
Afternoon, the side of heaven. Thank you very much for calling. Where are you calling from? Why is it morning?
Ontario, Canada.
Oh, good for you. You're 8 hours behind.
don't say good for me because it still happens here too.
No way.
I've just been listening and I've just been laughing. Because let me even start by asking you a question. Do you know the number one rule of the con?
No, I'm not a con artist. How am I supposed to know?
You can never con an honest man. How would somebody tell you that, oh, give me any amount of money and you will get 20, 30, 40%, 50% returns in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months? Let them do a simple Google search will show you that at the end of the day, you cannot get even beyond 10% within a year for legitimate companies. These are companies that have been on ground for decades.
Hold on a second. Pardon me. When you said it also happens here, do you also mean it happens in Canada?
Yes, it does.
Where they scam people.
I'm speaking to you right now.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
Looking at YouTube, but there's a topic on CBC. That's our local news station. Yeah, frustrated family left out of home after years of building. This is happening in Calgary. It was a Nigerian builder, and he knew where to get Nigerians, churches. Basically moved from one church to the other. Oh, this or that one. He helped them forge the slips of income, because the kind of house you buy here, depends on how much you earn as a person. So someone that says he's earning $60,000 a year, he was able to forge paperwork to show that he was earning $120,000. To make matters worse, he got stuck while trying to build the house. So there is actually the land, there's already structures, but he needs to, it was just the skeleton structure.
Yeah.
You need to put insulation, wiring, plumbing, and all those stuff. And those people are now stuck. They are not paying mortgage for a house that are not present. And now they are reporting him to the news station. So right now, there's nothing the government can do, because, okay, they were supposed to be hurdles that these companies developers have to go through before they are allowed to offer to the public such infrastructure, which the person must have circumvented one way or the other. And this is the Nigerian, an Igbo boy. I'm not pointing fingers to anyone. Virtually every tribe at least does something similar to this. But it's just one of the few things people here fall into. And this is not a situation where you're saying, oh, you lose $6 million. This is a situation where you're losing as much as $2,000 to $3,000 every month, because you have to you have to pay for your mortgage. You already signed the paper. But unfortunately for them, they didn't do their due research to find out, okay, how legitimate is this person? How many development projects has he handled?
Wow.
It's just unfortunate. People fall for things like that here too. There are even still scams where people, their whole life savings, IRCC is looking for you. You are owing IRCC money. You'll be arrested. Call this number, and out of fear, they call. And at the end of the day, the person collects card details, their ATM card details, tell them to wire money to this, that they have to do it now. And then they give you that sense of urgency. Being frank with you, I almost fell for one yesterday. The person tried to steal my WhatsApp number, because they get WhatsApp number, steal it from you, and quickly send it down to Nigeria to use by the scammers there to scam people on this side. Person was like, oh, I'm with this group. I checked. I noticed the person was in a group that I belong to. Oh, we're going to be having a meeting. So today, I need you to send me a code for me to forward you this thing. He had that sense of urgency. He was like, send it now. While I was sending the number, I just realized that he was saying, I am the head of the pop-up was like, I'm trying to clone my number to my WhatsApp account to a different account. I gave him the number and he just cut the line. At that point, I just saw myself being logged out. I quickly went trying to add myself back. Luckily for me, I had the phone, and I, rather than waiting for a text message to confirm my two-factor authentication, I know the code, and I was able to call myself for me to get a new code, and I was able to restore my account. This is me that went to school and everything, though. These days, these people are always one step ahead of the government in whichever country they are in. And trust me, imagine these people in this situation in Calgary right now that I'm talking about. Even though the government said they are looking into it, but while the government is looking into it, this could take years. This could take decades. And at the end of the day, they are stuck with mortgages that they cannot pay for.
Yeah, but if the government can confirm that, you know, the mortgage setup is just fraudulent, can the government overrule? I mean, to a sensible degree, can they impose the government power to redeem the victim from a situation that would impoverish them any further than they have lost?
Trust me, Joyce. I've asked myself that question several times. It's not that straightforward. They still have to go through lots of legal hoops. Imagine somebody selling you a doorbell, this Google Nest doorbell or this thing, and they use that, the paperwork they give you to sign, they put a lien on your house. A lien on your house means that you cannot sell the house without their approval and their permission. So a Google Nest that will cost me $250, they will say, oh, just give me $10 every month for the next, they give you a specified period of time, maybe 10 years, or they will say $5 for 10 years. You look at it as a deal, but you don't know. You have to read through the paperwork you're signing. If you sign it now, for example, that means you cannot sell that house for the next 10 years as long as they have a lien on that house. And for you, in order for you to speak to them to get the lien out of the house, they can tell you, okay, I need 50,000 out of the total amount of money that you sell the house for.
Is this legal?
Doesn't make sense. What?
Is it legal?
It is legal. It is legal.
This is wild.
These things like this were done in the past. For people that cannot afford efficient heating furnace, that's heating and cooling system, to enable them, afford those stuff, and at the same time they pay overtime. But the scammers now, they reinvented the whole rule. They start putting it on small disposable items, things that are less than what, $300-$400, and they will reduce the amount. But you don't know that indirectly you are signing the lien. That because most people here, they move every 5-6 years. So a situation whereby you have a lien on your house that you yourself might not know when the lien would be taken off, or for a period of 10 years, you cannot sell the house. Maybe for the one reason you were moving because you got a new job somewhere else, and they get stuck. And now they are forced to dance to the tune of the scammers.
How does a doorbell get you stuck in that kind of a bottleneck? This is crazy. This story you're telling is
crazy. Go do a Google search.
On doorbells and liens? Like, this
videos
is
on your
wild.
IG page of people that have fallen for things like this. It's crazy, but it happens.
Okay. Uh-oh. So what are you going to say? People need to open their eyes, their ears, their soul.
In terms of Nigeria, they need to open their eyes. For crying out loud, nobody would, even the banks will not even give you 10% on the best savings accounts for a month. Why would somebody tell you? Because they should put themselves in the person's shoes. You have a secret to me that will give you 40-50% returns in a week. I would not tell anybody. I would just keep my money there. Let it keep.
But the problem with this argument is that you need the investment of people to expand your enterprise. For example, any country needs investments. So the idea of people investing is really at the core of how their venture becomes successful.
But you realize that whenever they tell people about this thing, they always put a sense of urgency. Do it now. If not, you will miss out. Do it now.
Is the problem
the urgency? They put an urgency. And at the end of the day, even if you're telling me that, yes, I understand the fact that for most of these businesses, you do investment. But come on, who gives? What business on earth do you get that much return within a short period of? It's only, I will say it's drug money that has those kind of returns and even more. Besides drug, I don't see any business that you will tell me that you do and you're getting 50% return, 60%, 100% in less than a year. In fact, in 2-3 years, it's not possible.
Okay, I have to be off on a break. Your commentary was very revealing. Thank you. Lagos, Nigeria, we're off on a break. We'll be right back. My name's Joyce.
On Wednesdays, we hold it to be worthy of notes.
I agree.
Nigeria Info. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. I just Googled that story from that last caller from Ontario, Canada. It's true. Crazy. Indeed. This is really worthy of note. So, I think I can afford one more conversation before time for the headlines. Hello, Nigeria Info. Make it back. the sunny side. Good afternoon to you. Welcome to Nigeria Info. Hello.
Hello, Joyce.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, I have heard. Okay, I'm White from Fresh Talk.
White, thank you for calling.
Yeah. Well, I've heard stories about this thing. I mean, I've heard people's commentary. But can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
Why would a person put an investment and expect 50% return, 40%, 30% return, and feel it is not a scam? Why would someone do that? No, I'm not saying, yeah, fine. Okay, let's just say the poverty part is going to, like, linger in people's mind, and I want to get out of poverty and the whole brouhaha. But come on, even banks that have been around for 40 years, 30 years, 50 years can never give you more than 10%.
Banks are not the gold standard. Let's get that out of the way. Banks are not the gold standard.
Okay, let's leave banks. Agriculture is a good one, right?
Yeah, that is.
Agriculture won't give you 50% returns. Agriculture will not give you 30%, will not give you 20% returns. Why do you think this other investment will give you 25% return?
Well, some say real estate. So the guy who said he lost 6.5 million said that the owner of that Ponzi scheme said he would invest in quite a number of things, including real estate. So some say real estate is a good...
That is what they say. They mix it from real estate to agribusiness,
yeah,
to trading.
Foreign investments.
They mix the whole thing together, but just to tell you to put your money, and once your money is locked in, it's joyous, it is gone.
Oh boy.
Gone. There's nothing.
What do you think about the 10 years? Real quick, I have 10 seconds.
Okay,
you.
The 10 years, greed is what happens in Nigeria.
The National Assembly, 10 years,
The 10 years is just, it's just a minor.
Is it solid enough? Is it strong enough to stop the crazy? It's not?
It's not strong. I know how many people have duped a lot of Nigerians and run away from Nigeria. Like the other one,
have I lost you?
The couple that took about 2.4 billion and ran away from Nigeria. The other man that is still on ESCC hot list now, where is he? He's outside Nigeria.
So 10 years is not solid enough to deter them.
It's not
good enough punishment. All right.
Enough.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate you calling in. Lagos, Nigeria, we're off on a break to bring you the headlines on Nigeria Info. 93 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. My name's Joyce, and it's worthy of note. Beautiful Wednesday afternoon to you. So I just received an email from my travel agency, and tickets to Vancouver from Lagos is 1.2 million 20,089 naira. From Lagos to Calgary is 2.9 million. In fact, let's just say 3 million. I'm talking economy here. Lagos to Vancouver is 1.3 million. Ticket. Okay. I mean, I've paid cheaper in the past. We've gotten here. This is where we are. Hey. And to think I had a plan. So, of course, I was working on something. And so I sent them a message. And this is touted to be like the bet. In fact, this is the headline of the email. Canada is calling your name. Economy, 3 million. Well, I'm not going to Calgary, actually. It's Vancouver, and that's 1.3 million naira. I'm just trying to take it in. You know, I'm just trying to take it in. All right. It's a lot to take in. The sunny side. Good afternoon to you. 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's good to have you here. A message here from Jackson. He says, Joyce, to be honest with you, the way you laugh, I think I understand. Even me too, I've thought about it. The next time I leave this country, I'm not sure if I'm going to be coming back in a hurry. Well, I don't know that you should be running away. I just think that the economy needs to be better so that things are well and life is not expensive. You know, it does quite appear that we're getting to a point in our collective history where being alive is costly. And it shouldn't be so. I mean, the tickets have been cheaper. And I know, you know what, I think you already know that if you buy tickets from outside of Nigeria, or if you pay for your ticket from outside of Nigeria, I hear it's cheaper. If you're paying from outside, I'm not sure why tickets in Nigeria are getting costlier by the minute. And then one would wonder, is this just a peak period situation? Will it come down? Well, you and I are alive to watch it come down. I don't think I've seen anything come down in price. And maybe if it comes down, it's usually 100 naira or 50 naira, just something totally insignificant. Yeah. Anyways, it's time now for language and interpretation. I want to quickly say thanks to all our callers who have called in. My telephone lines are still ringing, but I must admit to you that as much as I would love to further the conversation, there's also another topic on ground. Plus, this is going to be a solid conversation the moment the president signs it. So we don't know for sure if the current administration is going to be able to sign it. But then one person is saying it needs to be reviewed, where inclusive to the bill and to the punishment that is due owners of Ponzi schemes should be return of whatever monies they find left with those people, so that those who have invested can get, if not all, get something. Otherwise, I think the argument still hangs in the balance, where some believe that it's not solid enough to prevent those with corrupt intentions from stealing from innocent Nigerians. And so, I don't know. I wish I knew, because many times when things happen, you think you can really come up with a solid solution to the problem. But I think with Nigeria, Nigeria is just peculiar, where sometimes you think the solution should be solid or more solid, and then you go through what is a perceived solution and you can see that there are still some things hanging out that still need to be imputed to guarantee not just on one hand implementing law, but also giving justice to those who deserve it. And this is a moving story. Depending on where it ends, the conversation certainly will come back at a later time. All right. Thanks once again for being a part of my conversation. And now we go to language and interpretations, where I give you a language and you have to try to interpret it. And the interesting thing about interpreting languages is that you have to be introspective enough to consider all the aspects of human comprehension that need to be brought into the equation to understand whether the particular language has any life to it, any meaning to it, and if it is applicable in human reality. And so today's language is a bird in hand. I didn't mention it earlier on, so if you're ready, I am. Let's begin. Let's talk.
If it's information, then it's notable. Objective.
Subjective.
For time.
With time.
On Wednesdays, we hold it to be worthy of notes.
I agree.
Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. You're on the sunny side. Okay, so the language is a bird in hand. A bird in hand. I know you love idioms, if you pretty much love literature. And many would say, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush. That's a solid way to put it. Some would say a bird in hand is better than nine in the bush. I remember that there is an Igbo parable that someone tried explaining to me. He says, instead for the whole cow to run away, you cut a part of it. And I would say in many ways, it's similar to a bird in hand. So here is the question I'm asking. If you understand that logic, is it true that a bird in hand is better than two in the bush? Which honestly would just basically be translated to what you have in hand, you better hold on to it because you're not sure for what's outside. In fact, the guarantee of what you have in hand says you should remain, or at least, yeah, hold on to it, than being in pursuit of that which you have no possession of. How much of that statement is correct? And if it's not applicable, or maybe can be perceived as a two-faced coin, what kind of situations would it be applicable or not applicable? Should a person hold on to something that they have for the fact that, well, they don't know for what they don't have. And maybe it's better to just stay where you are. It's safer to stay where you are. If you get it, then tell me. Interpret that language and where it applies. All right, so I have my first message here. You say, hey, Joyce, we are a people of habit. And so one of the many crazy things about society is society forces us to maintain patterns that become our habits. So, yes, we've been told a bird in hand saves. A bird in hand is better than nine in the bush. The problem with that is you're trying to change your mind. Oh, that's not a good way to begin. Don't say I'm trying to change your mind. No, I'm trying to get you to think about it. That's what I'm trying to do. And if you have changed your mind, which, you know, I don't even know how to feel about that, then admit that you've changed your mind. But you have to be able to defend your stance. That's why we're here. It's Language and Interpretation, so 99.3 Nigeria Info. Oh, he says I'm trying to change his mind. Yeah, so you're a person of habit, and your habit now is stay safe. Is that what you're saying? Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Good afternoon to you. It's good to have you here.
Good afternoon. Bjordan speaking.
Welcome, Bjordan. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm glad to. I'm a first-time caller.
First-time caller. Please, it's good to have you here. Thank you for calling.
So, a bird in hand better than two in the bush. Well, I must say that one would want to consider the condition of the bird in hand. Is that bird strong enough? Is it safe enough? For instance, I have a friend who has been on a job that has not been satisfactory enough over the years and then decided to quit the job and look for another job. Albeit in a month's time, she got a job that was paying, I think she was receiving, is it 70? And now she got a job that pays 175 for probationarily. So after 6 months, the salary will be reviewed. Well, had it been she held on to the 70,000, oh, the economy is this, the economy is that, yeah, you can't get a job elsewhere, you can't do this, you can't do that, she probably will still be on the 70,000 I have paid till now. So sometimes you need to look at the status quo, see if, are you really happy, are you really okay? Is it worth, you know, holding on to? If it's not, I think you'd rather go looking for the birds in the bush.
Let me ask you, what if your friend didn't get that other job as soon as she did? Would you have thought it was unwise of her to have left one in hand?
Well, considering the fact that she's not comfortable where she is, considering the fact that the job has not really made her happy, amongst other things, I think I wouldn't have complained. I wouldn't have blamed her for quitting. Because she was losing her mind.
Oh.
Albeit, I would have rather, you know, helped her look for even better opportunity.
So, because if she didn't get the job, you would have thought it was sensible for her to have left regardless?
Regardless, yes. Because she wasn't happy. I think that's more important than just hanging on and, you know, wearing out emotionally, mentally, and even physically.
Yeah, you're that friend. Thank you very much.
Bird in hand is, you need to consider that bird. Is it going to survive? Is it worth holding on to?
Okay. And all? Thank you very much for calling. I didn't even have to change his mind. The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to Language and Interpretation. So the language is a bird in hand. And yeah. Is it safer? Is it better? Is it more sensible to hold on to it than being in pursuit of the two in the bush? The volume of your radio set.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joyce.
Yes, good afternoon to you.
This is Lord Igwe Victor.
Good to have you. It's not Lords of Logic, but yeah, welcome to the show.
All right. Bird at hand is worth any figure in the bush. I think it's not as if somebody is being confined to a comfort zone. But just like the last speaker said, there are things you consider most times when you are aspiring for bigger options. And if you have to lose the little one at hand, it might delay your opportunity of getting to the bigger one you are looking for. He cited an example, which also is applicable to my wife's issue. My wife's been looking for a job. She's it's not as if she's looking for a job. She's been in financial institutions. And because of stress in the industry where she works, I don't need to mention the name of the institution, but at a point, she continued to complain that the stress and the pay is not really comfortable with her, that she really needs to move on. But I thought that something, as someone, because I also worked in financial institution, I worked in Afribank in those days when it used to be, I told her that for you to be valuable, the bed at hand supposed to be worth more than anything. Now, if you... Are you still with me, Joyce?
I am.
So if you still want to be valuable in your bargain of a new slot for a better job, you have to clinch to this one you are at presently, so that by the time you get to interview and somebody asks you, what do you do presently, you won't just say because the previous one you were into was so stressful and the pay was not as huge as you wanted it, then you quitted. Along the line, she stood by that, my advice. So as time rolled by, she was able to have an opportunity to get another job, and she used the one she was into as an age of bargaining. When she was at interview, they were asking her, why do you want to leave the present job you are into? She said, for the sake of building on profession and career, that she needs to change the job. Then they asked her a series of questions. She clinched on the fact that she's on a particular job that they know she's been doing very, very well, because she, based on her own level, she used to train people that after the end of the training, you will still see those people that she trained. They will be reintegrated into the system, and she starts calling them madam, and you understand. But for the fact that she really needed an age in order to climb higher, in order to have a better bargaining power, she was able to get it by...
Basically, bird in hand is better than two in the bush.
So she stood on the bed at hand. At the end of the day, she was able to get a better offer in another financial institution. So a bed at hand is worth better than millions in the bush. Thank you very much,
Thank you very much for calling. This conversation is going exactly where you thought it would go. It's going everywhere. I have a message here from Adigo K, who says, I think the statement is not a fact, but it's the statement of someone who likes his or her comfort zone. There are many opportunities out there, but... many opportunities out there that one could get. Life itself is full of risks, so it's risky not taking a risk. Yeah, so the contention here is the courage for it or the sensibility about it. On one hand, you would say it's sensible to stick with that bird in hand. On the other hand, you'd say, maybe I should go for the two in the bush and leave the one at hand. So far, you can see where the conversation has gone. Two people, two different things. Hello. Two people, two different opinions. Hello. It's good to have you here. Welcome to Language and Interpretations.
Oh, good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, this is Alan calling from VI.
Thank you very much for calling.
Oh, okay. I think a bird in hand, or two in the bush, is usually it's... There are circumstances in which a person may want to use it. I won't necessarily agree or disagree with it, because usually where I'm from, maybe when you get to maybe like a gathering of elders, like the Umunami team, and then you hear them argue on maybe certain topics, you will be shocked that there are proverbs that counter proverbs. Let me put it like that. And so you hear a proverb like that, and then you hear another one that counters it. You know, so yes, a bird in hand is said to be worth two in the bush, but that is where you're trying to ask someone to be cautious. But on another hand, tomorrow you might want to ask the person to be more adventurous. You will get another proverb now that in a way contradicts a bird in hand. So I wouldn't necessarily say I agree or disagree with it. Yeah, it would be worth it. But like one of the callers said, it's just important to look carefully into the situation and be willing to take responsibility for whatever the outcome is.
Yeah, but you see, so I thank you for what you've done, but you haven't given me your view. You sound like you're neither here nor there. And there isn't any problem with that. It's just that it doesn't quite say much, you know. I mean, when you look at your life largely, when you look at your life largely, what kind of person would you say you are? Are you the sort of guy who's more likely to burden hand? Okay. Yeah, that's what I want.
Looking at myself, I would say I lean more on a bed in hand.
Uh-huh. That's what you should have
However,
said
I'm not of the opinion that one of my goals is to start taking risks. Start being able to take risks. Yes.
Is that a New Year resolution?
Yes.
I'm going to check up with you next year then. Let's see how well you do.
Risk, because, you could get into a mindset and you don't know when it has sucked you down.
Oh, finally, I got something out of you. High five. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, the sunny side. Good afternoon to you. Can you hear me? Make it back. The sunny side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for calling. Welcome. You tell me your name.
My name is Don Mike from Sabo.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Bed at hand. Better than the one in the boat. And you know that it's even a risk. The life we're living is a risk because you can breathe in and not be able to breathe out again. And that's you are gone. Uh-oh. The bed at hand is a risk. So why not? And that is a risk because it can fly at any time. You can fly at any time. For example, you have a job and you know the job is not giving you what you want.
Yeah.
You continue with that job. Manage it. Go to island, for example. Go to wherever you want to go and seek for another job that you are sure, that you may be sure that will work.
Yeah, but isn't it safer to cling on to something that you already know and you have secured than being in pursuit of something you're not sure about the outcome and have not secured?
That is why I start from saying that it's a risk to start with. Anything you do in this life is a risk. So you have to take the same risk that you are holding that one that may be trouble tomorrow. Then you go to look for the one you think.
What if you lose?
Will actually work.
What if you lose?
That is the way I look at it.
What if you lose?
Everything is just a risk. Just take that risk.
Yo, you're repeating this thing, and I'm asking a question to help me understand your position.
Okay.
What if you lose? If you take the risk, as you said, and then you lost?
Yeah. There's nothing you can do about it.
So
everything. There's nothing you can do about it. You must take it the way you look, the way you see it.
Okay.
That is my take.
Thank you. Language and Interpretations. Good afternoon to you. Welcome to Nigeria Info. The language is a bird in hand. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Afternoon to you, lady. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah. My name is Rachel.
Welcome, Rachel.
To me, a bird at hand, to me, it means you appreciate what you have presently. That's it to me. Just appreciate what you have presently, unlike what you don't have. What you have, you appreciate it. That's it to me.
Yeah, I know. Are you saying you also support the philosophy of, well, if you have it in hand, it's better than giving up what you have and going for something you don't have?
Yes.
But what?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. She likes it safe. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Joy, good afternoon.
Good to have you here. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I can't sleep from Ecuador.
Fantastic.
Joyce, can you bring this topic to our back to differ? Can we talk to Sandra? Anyway, it's good. It's part of the fun. Yes, a debt at hand. What to Indy?
You want a debate? Turn up the volume of your radio set. If I told you again.
It's off, Joyce. Sorry, okay. It's off. I put it off. I know the rule, please.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Can the audio okay now?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Sorry. So, as I was saying, I'm looking at being contented and the limitation here, Joyce.
Okay.
You know, when you thought that you will be contented, it's a different case. That is the bed you have at hand.
Uh-huh.
When we are talking about limits you want to go through, Joyce, you need to take the risk. For me, I don't believe in that philosophy. Just like when you say the devil you know is better than a human being you don't know. The devil you know can disappoint you, but the human being you don't know may change. It's, when you look at the two sides of it, it's just like the risk, as you said. What if you take the risk and lost? Then what will you do? It's a very good question. I got that content. If you lost, you move on. What matters in life is joy. It's not how you get down, it's how you wake up. How quick do you stand up?
Oh.
We can fall with the bed we have at hand. It can give up in our hands. It can die, or anything can happen to it, and we move on. So, but what matters in that moment is that when we are contented, then we thought that the one we have, we appreciate it first. But when you appreciate it, God will... Okay, let me not put... Because I know this, we're talking about reality here.
No, no, God is also a function of reality.
Okay. Oh, yeah, but thank you for that understanding.
I am hoping that I can bank on your logic in this moment. Just bank on your comprehension of the argument or the topic.
All right, Joy. That is my take. Because you have it and appreciate it, then God will make a way for you. Like what you are doing there, the kind of human resources you have there, if I have my way, Joy, I will put you to Nigeria for that. I'm going to drag you out from that place.
And take me where?
I'm telling you that is but
no, it's okay. Where would you like to take me to? I could follow you.
I don't have the capacity. I'm not the human capacity. Need to deceive myself. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. I have a message here. He says, I think the phrase should be rephrased to a viable bird in hand is worth nine in the bush. Great from Coca. Thank you very much. This is Chris. A bird at hand is worth 1,000 in the bush. I have 26 seconds. Okay. This idiom and proverbs are some of many that are outdated or obsolete in our society today. Oh, is it? We can do a series on idiom proverbs that aren't valid nowadays. Well, so Chris, an objection here. The way people live embody a philosophy. And so you might think it's outdated, but if people live like they believe it, then it's still not outdated because it's in people's heads. We'll be right back. All right, so there's a message here. He says, it actually means if you have a bird at hand, which could represent skills, knowledge, experience, that one bird can attract other birds in the bush, greater opportunities, open doors, and the like. It doesn't necessarily mean remaining in your comfort zone. Trisha from Ikorodu, you have superimposed on a social construct, a personal definition. And you know what? In the land of a language, I think that's also permissible. We can tolerate that, where the world can tell you one thing and then you can ascribe your own meaning to it. Yeah, but that just took us out of the social construct we're trying to analyze. It's 2:30 on the clock, and Desmond, as you would have imagined, has made an appearance. And so this phantom of... Where's your father from?
Well, he was actually born on planet Earth.
Yeah, does it have a location on the under the sun?
Where he was actually born, or where his great-great-grandparents were born?
Oh, so your pops was also British then. Okay, good then. No. So where was his great-grandfather from?
His great-great-grandparents were born in a place called Ibadan.
Uh-huh. So the phantom of Ibadan, it makes an appearance in the studio.
But then he was born in a place called Abeokuta. You see, and I was born in a place called Lagos, which was all in a location called the Niger area.
You're a proper Lagos boy, huh?
Well, yes, I suppose. But I prefer to refer to myself as just an earthling.
Well, his name is Desmond Majakudum. I'm handing over the microphone to him on 99.3 Nigeria.
Whoa!
First, the Sony side.